Welcome back to the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast, episode 002. Impressive that we've made it this far. I'm Mitch, I'm here with Katie, and we are ready to talk. It is Friday night, we are in a closet, and that is what we do with our Friday nights.
The acoustics in here are great, you have to admit.
I do have to admit that, that is true, and that's why we're in here, and it's not so bad, it's comfortable. Tonight, our topic is
busyness.
And of course, if we're talking about something, we're going to talk about it in light of eternity. So what does it mean when we're looking at eternity, and how does that help with the busyness in our lives, if that indeed is the case?
With my blog, whenever anybody subscribes to my email list, they receive a question. I ask them, what is the one thing that's holding you back from pursuing the things that actually matter? And probably my most common answer, as you might be able to imagine, is that people are busy. They are running around from a string of obligations, commitments, and daily chores, routines, etc., that they don't have time to stop and put two thoughts together. So the end result is that they feel very burdened. They don't have time to center on God or to actually grow in their knowledge of His Word, nor do they have the time to really be intentional even within the simple things that they're already doing that could be done for God's glory, but there's no intentionality there because they're constantly overwhelmed and they're constantly reacting. I think that's a problem, and I think that there is a solution.
There's always a solution. And the solution, of course, comes from Jesus. What does Jesus have to say about this topic?
One verse that came to my mind when thinking about this was Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What I see and hear when I read this is that if we're weary and burdened by life, that's kind of a problem because Christ's yoke is light and His burden is easy, or vice versa, is light and easy. So if we're not feeling this joy of a light and easy burden, maybe we are not doing a good job making choices with how we are spending our time.
I'm totally with you. What stands out for me in that verse is definitely my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hello, who doesn't want that? I know I do. That's really, really, really desirable. But it calls for sacrifice and it calls for giving up stuff. And we're going to have to give up some stuff. So let's talk about this a little deeper, a little farther. The first question we kind of want to tackle tonight is, what's your motivation? Why are you busy? What motivates you to do whatever you do that creates a life where you feel or are busy?
In order to get your mind around this, it would be advantageous to make a list of the things you're doing that are making you busy. This could be anything from dishes, or caring for your family's needs, or working at a job. Perhaps you have volunteer commitments or church commitments. What are the things that are making you busy in your life? Perhaps it is habits like TV watching habits that take up a lot of your time, and then you don't have enough time for other things. You end up feeling behind. What is the reason that you're busy?
So, I'm having flashbacks to when I had a job where I had a boss. I don't have a boss anymore, but when I had a boss, we had to do time studies. This is making me sweat a little bit. That's kind of like doing a time study minus really keeping deep track of the time study. But that's a good point. Be practical. What are you actually doing with your life?
Well, and I think the value of a time study is it's empowering. It really gives you a measure of a feeling of control that there might be some things that you could change. It might not be everything, but there might be some things that you can and should change to just be able to serve God at a new level with your life. We don't want you to be less busy so that you can kick back and have more soda pops at the beach. Yes, self-care is important. Absolutely. Rest is a holy thing. But we want to look at the busyness question from an eternal perspective, because if you have a relaxing and fun time in your life, wonderful, I guess, but it didn't gain you anything past that moment when it was enjoyed. So, Mitch, what are some of the motivations that could make one of our listeners busy?
One of the big ones, and one big one for me, is acquiring wealth. People out there are subjected to a constant flow by society and by our world and by those people around us to reach certain standards financially and with the things that we have and with the things that we're able to do in this life. I know for me personally, that can be difficult to want to always strive to increase my wealth and make myself more valuable in the world's eyes. And so what can that do for your business? Well, perhaps you take on more jobs or more hours at work so that you can live up to a certain standard, or you can live in a certain neighborhood. But really all you're doing is chasing the wind. You're chasing things that are not eternal, that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And that is not what God wants.
Proverbs 23:4-5 says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly to the sky like an eagle." Now, I don't want you to hear us saying that wealth is evil or bad in some way, or that it is wrong to take a vacation with your family. That's not what we're saying at all. However, it is really sad when a life is spent spinning wheels to get rich and attain wealth that at the end of your life is meaningless. So we don't want to be guided by the pursuit of wealth. If we don't have much more than our absolute bare needs in this life, that's really okay. We haven't lost out on anything eternally, and perhaps we've even gained something depending on our reasons for being in that state.
All of these things that we're talking about are biblical. Going to work and doing work is important. That's an important part of life, and being able to provide for one's family, that is an important part of life. But just like anything, overdoing those things and having a mindset of, I want to go above and beyond just so that I can get more money, that's a hard issue. And that's what we're talking about.
Our next motivation is perfectionism. This is not something that I personally struggle with, but I think Mitch might be able to speak to this a little bit better.
Perfectionism is a tough one, because for me, in my mind, I can justify it because it's being perfect. It's being more like God, right? If everything is perfect and everything is just the way that it's supposed to be and just the way that I want it, then isn't that a good thing? The answer to that question is, well, no. First of all, you have to consider the fact that we live in a broken world, which means no matter how much we try, our lives and the things around us and the things in our lives are not going to be perfect. And Jesus is calling us to find perfection in Him, to find Christ. There is only one thing that is perfect, and that's Jesus Christ, and that's God. And we are neither one of those things, but we can pursue wholeheartedly after that, and that will lead us to a life that is eternal and that is perfect. But while we're here on this earth, not only is it unachievable, but it's unhealthy to make that a focus in our lives. Is it good to do things well? Is it good to try things to the best of our ability? Absolutely. Jesus says that. But that doesn't mean that we have to entrench in our hearts this desire to have everything exactly the way we want it to be. That is not what Jesus wants.
And I just imagine in my mind a woman who is a perfectionist with her home. And she has little children, so she is driving herself crazy.
Could be a man, too.
Okay.
This drives me nuts, too. I just don't know anything about it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. She is driving herself crazy, trying to keep the fingerprints off the glass, trying to keep every speck of dust off the baseboards and the splatters of pee off the rim of the toilet, just absolutely running herself into the ground. And I know that there are women like this because I have gotten to speak with them about it. And it becomes a distraction. Our homes are not eternal. Absolutely, we work hard, but they're not eternal. And at some point, they can take us away from the more important work of spiritual things that God wants to do.
I agree. And don't let us sound like we're being too harsh. All these things can be good in moderation. Just remember that as we go through that. But this is all great stuff for you personally to take and examine your heart and say, are these things that I'm holding too tightly onto when I should be holding tightly onto the cross? So that's kind of what we're trying to get to here. Where's your heart on these issues? Another thing that I really like to talk about in this area is boundaries. And people really struggle with where to set boundaries. It is a hard topic because for me, I have a really hard time saying no. If someone asks me if I want to do something, 99% of the time, not only do I want to say yes, even if I don't want to say yes, I'm probably going to say yes. So I'm saying all these yeses, and I'm just piling up all these things that I think I need or have or want to do, and I have no ability to create boundaries. That was probably the old me. Nowadays, I've gotten a lot better at setting boundaries, and I have the ability to say no. And part of that came through a church we went to in St. Louis, which was really stressed the importance of boundaries. And also, there's a great book. It's called Boundaries. That's the title of the book. How easy is that? And it's by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And this is a topic we could talk about for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks on this podcast. We're not going to do that right now, but we just want you to take a look. Can I say no? Can I set boundaries for me? Can I set boundaries for my family? Can I protect the things that I need to protect time-wise?
Yeah, and I think that a really important thing to know about healthy boundaries is you're not always going to do what's best for you because there's a bigger picture in play, and that is the kingdom of God. So there are going to be many times where God wants you to lay down logical boundaries in order to serve others radically. However, just because someone invites you to a birthday party and expects you to go doesn't necessarily mean that that is the right thing for you to do. I think it is really important to be able to let go of that people-pleasing, which people-pleasing is definitely where I enter into this equation. And, you know, if there are volunteer needs at church that are not met, those can put a certain weight on a person's shoulders. And that can be a good thing. God can use that as the calling of his spirit drawing us into ministry, which is so wonderful. But it can also, some of these time commitments can come just from the desire to have approval of others. I want to also make the point that the approval of man is completely different. Being motivated by that is completely different than being motivated by loving man. Galatians 1:10 says, this is Paul speaking, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is an interesting tension to live in, that we are not called to make our decisions based on pleasing people, but we are called to make our decisions based on loving people. And we're going to get more into what that looks like here in just a bit, but I will say it takes a discerning spirit, and that is something that we gain when we take time to spend with the Lord personally and to pray through these questions that we have. So we have examined various motivations, kind of negative motivations that we might have for being busy. But I want to say and point out the busyness is not necessarily a bad thing. God doesn't speak against busyness. In fact, a verse that comes to my mind is in Titus 2, where Paul instructs older women to instruct younger women to be busy at home. So it's actually good to be busy. Busyness isn't the enemy, but we need to be wise about our busyness and why we're doing it so that it is producing fruit, true fruit. And it is important for us to remember that our only responsibility is faithful obedience to the things God has called us to, not the things that people have asked us to do or the things that we feel like we should do or could do. Our responsibility is to what God has called us to do. And just because we see a need doesn't mean we are supposed to meet it. That is a really, really tough thing to kind of learn and ingest and have the wisdom to understand. But we need to remember that as Christians, we are the body of Christ. God has equipped each of us to play a specific role, and the Spirit of God will empower each one of us to minister in specific ways according to the needs of those around us. So there is no super part within this body that needs to do all the things. Instead, all of us have an equal responsibility and an equal privilege to play our role. And in fact, if we do everything, we miss out on the beauty of what God has created within the unity and the different functions of the body of Christ. And inadvertently, we might even prevent someone else from getting involved who would have otherwise.
Whenever you were talking about that, the first thing that came to mind is if God is giving us direction and he's telling us what we should and shouldn't be doing, that means to me, that means I have to be in tune with God once in my life. So if I have to be in tune with God, that means I have to be spending time with God. That means I have to be praying and asking and seeking his direction in these things. And if I'm not doing those things, then how am I following the will of God? And if I'm not doing what God has poured into my life, then maybe I'm doing something that's meaningless. The point being, make sure you're taking care of yourself, and that'll help take care of some of these things. By taking care of yourself, I mean spiritually, spending that time with God. That's what struck me in your little conversation with yourself.
I was talking with you and all these people. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
It is so critical that we consider the fruit of the things that we are doing. What exactly is making us busy? Work, our kids' activities, church activities, serving, community service, recreation, technology use. Let's look at an example. Because I think probably a lot of our listeners have serving roles. So let's consider someone who is a Girl Scout troop leader or a Boy Scout troop leader. What was your motive for taking on this role? Let's say your motive was to bless other families and children, and you wanted to gain influence into these lives within the community to spread the gospel. That is an eternal reason for being a Girl Scout troop leader. But is it happening? Are hearts softening? Are doors being open to spiritual conversations? Are people being loved? Are they grateful? What kind of fruit is being born? Or is this instead a position that you took from a sense of obligation? Or maybe someone pressured you with their expectations? And maybe the fruit is that this commitment has stolen your margin for time with the Lord, and it has wrapped your brain up in temporary things. And maybe the outcome is that you're depleted and cranky with others in your life. Or maybe there's drama. Or conversely, maybe you have a sense of purpose and calling in the midst of your serving. So you can kind of see a dichotomy. There are two different reasons, and there are different fruits. If the fruits are not good, then maybe it's okay to step back from that. And you know what? If the Girl Scout troop crumbles, is that okay in light of eternity?
Yes.
I'm going to say it probably is.
That's a bold statement, but yes.
I'm going to say it probably is. I wasn't a Girl Scout. That's nothing. That's just an arbitrary example. But I think sometimes we put so much weight on the powers that be, the institutions are in place. We can't bear to see them not continue. But for everything, there is a season. We know this in the book of Ecclesiastes. And just because something was started and was good, it doesn't mean that it has to continue forever.
My example has to do with sports. I love sports. I enjoy playing them very much. And since we've been married, I have played in softball leagues and I've played in basketball leagues and even a little volleyball. There was one summer where I was playing in a basketball league. I was playing in a softball league. And there was another softball league that was a very long drive away that I was subbing in sometimes. And what I noticed about that fall, actually it was fall, was I was not bearing any fruit in any of those leagues. I was playing sports. I was having fun. I was enjoying myself. But my wife was stressed out. Katie was not enjoying herself. She was having to watch the kids all by herself for large amounts of additional hours that didn't necessarily need to be put on her shoulders. Meanwhile, I'm out having fun, but I'm having no spiritual fruit being bore. So, a couple falls later, I decided, you know what? I am not going to do that anymore. I'm going to limit myself to one sport league at a time. And if people ask me to play in their other sport league, I will say no.
When our kids were born, when our first daughter was born, I was serving in the kids ministry at our church. And it became more challenging, but it still worked. I would take her into childcare for two services, one so I could serve and one so I could attend church. And she would just kind of be milling around me during the meetings and things that we had to prepare in between. So I was still able to do that, and I felt that it was fruitful. However, when our second child was born, I now had an infant and a barely two-year-old that I was bringing with me. I changed roles a little bit, trying to figure out a way that I could still continue serving because I wanted to serve. I wanted to help meet the needs that my church had. However, after doing this for several months, it became obvious that the fruit that it was bearing was anxiety and stress. And to explain this a little bit, Mitch actually was employed by our church. So he was completely busy and unable to help me with the children, whereas the other volunteers, typically, if they had little children, they had help from their spouse. And after several months, it really became clear, and I really felt God give me permission to step back and actually kind of just be served for in that season in the sense of children's ministry, because my children were still going into it, but I wasn't helping. And I really learned a lesson that was almost being busy for the sake of busyness. But like I was saying, as the body of Christ, we have the ebb and flow and the honor of serving each other and meeting each other's needs. And that life does come in season. And I certainly don't use that as a cop-out. I was able to find much better ways to serve the body of Christ. And many times it just looked like bringing other moms into my home for play dates to get to know them and love them or things of that nature, or bringing a meal to someone who had something going on with their family. So there are creative ways to serve, but sometimes it's okay to let go of a serving commitment, no matter how good it is, if it's not bearing good fruit. We have a list of questions, and I'm going to put together a download if you would like to download these questions to think through directly. But I call this a grid, a decision-making metric for living a heavenly-minded life in terms of busyness and commitments, the ways and things that we are spending our time doing. the very first question that I think we need to consider is, how can I best show Christ's love in this situation?
That's a great question. And we talked about that a lot in our last episode. Love is eternal. Love matters. And we need to show each other love.
So this is not a podcast episode where you're going to hear us say, do what's best for you. Sometimes you need to do that out of wisdom and so that you can serve others better overall. However, we are going to tell you, you want to live a life that matters, love. Do what loves others best. And obviously you can't meet all needs, so you need to also keep that in mind too.
Don't be too busy. All right, so another question we had is, how can I trust God by simply walking in obedience to Him? No more, no less.
Only do what God is asking you to do. There is great freedom and abundance in learning to live that way. How do you know what God is asking you to do? He will guide you as you seek Him, as you pray and read His word and seek wise counsel. He will nudge you, and it is the most amazing feeling to sense His leading and to follow Him, because obedience bears fruit that is indescribable on so many dimensions and so many levels. And this, I think, is the crux of the verse that we open with. I believe it was in Matthew 11 that this is the light burden. We walk forward in obedience and we get to see the amazing things that not that we are doing, that God is doing through His people in the world.
It's so true. Obedience to God is very important. And if we can obey God and what He wants for us, and we can love others well, that's going to take us a very long way in our walk to have an eternally minded perspective.
The last question that we want you to consider when assessing your busyness and your commitments is, how can I seek God's kingdom first and then trust Him to provide for my needs? This is taken from Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We talked about the motivator of acquiring wealth. We're kind of in a different place with our family where we're learning what it means to seek His kingdom and be wise, but to really believe that if we are following Him with everything, laying down our lives, putting it all on the line, that He will do just what this Bible verse says and provide. You might not need to change any single thing in your life. Maybe you started this podcast episode thinking, yes, I have no time. I'm too busy. I can't do what matters because I'm always running around like a crazy person. However, looking at your life, you might see, yes, absolutely. I am serving the Lord faithfully. I am following His calling. I'm just busy, and it's okay to be busy. Maybe all that you need is a simple mindset shift to really offer all of these activities of your day back to the Lord as a sacrifice of praise, as an act of worship to Him. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we're asking you to quit your job or something insane, but just to really know that there's a heavenly-minded equation in the tasks and activities of your life. We'll leave you with that. See you next time.